All right, Shabbos, say good evening. Such a schos, Baruch Hashem, to be back with all of you. Excited to continue. Baruch, so you have an incredible, incredible Gemara tonight. And thank you to Reb Chaim for giving shir last week, Reb Richter giving shir last week. So we left off, four lines up from the bottom, right? Three lines up from the bottom. Three lines up from the bottom, 28a. Reb Yosef, no? Three lines up from the bottom? Oh, I'm Reb Elazar, got it. So we'll say, so remember again, by the way, you guys made excellent, excellent ground. You read it? You read the words? Or you just, what happened?
They
just,
listen to the
yeah, I'm behind. I'm like, I thought it was going to be like a blot behind. That's usually what I do in a week. All right. Baruch Hashem. So what happens? So remember again, we had Rabbi Yehuda, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, about the time frame for Shacharis. So the Gemara says as follows. So remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to daven Shacharis up until 4 hours into the day. So the Gemara says, Kolam Espalo Tfilo Shacharis L'Achar Shabbos Shalos Rabbi Yehuda. If you daven Shacharis after 4 hours of the day, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I love Akasav Omer about such a person. The pasuk says, "Nuge mimoid asafti mimcha hayu." So we'll say Gemara's over here quoting the pasuk. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Quoting the pasuk from Tzifanya. So literally, "Nuge mimoid asafti mimech hayu masos cherpa." So the Gemara says, "My mashma." Oh, I'm sorry, I keep losing the place. Okay. My Masha the High Nugi Lishna de Tavro. So how do you know that this Lashna of Nugi, Nugi Mimoid, like literally again broken appointed times I've taken from you? How do you know that Lashna of Nugi means broken? Kidum Targan of Yosef, Tavra Asi Alsonan de Beis Yisrael, Al de Acharu Zmane Mo'odaya de Birushalayim. As Rav Yosef said, a curse should come upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael, which I will say often is a metaphor for Jews who don't do the right things, in that they delayed the appointed times, the Amin Tovim in Yerushalayim. Amar Belozer, Kolam Spalot Tfilah Shal Shacharis La'achar Shabbos Shalos Rabbi Yehuda. Anyone who daven Shacharis after 4 hours there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Alav Akasav Omer Nuge Mimoy Dasafti Mimcha. My Masha Dahai Nugi Lishna De Tzarahu. In this context, he's using Nugi to mean a Lashon of Tzar, of pain and suffering. Dichsev Dolfa Nafshi Mituga. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Ar Mehacha Besulosah Nogos Vihi Marlo. Okay, so we'll say some different applications and usages of the word Nuga. Amud Beis.
Why does the Gemara only say according to Rabbi Yehuda? Why does it say like after Chatzos according to Rabbanan?
So the Marsha asks that question. He says, you're right, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. They're just illustrating the idea that whatever shita you're aligning yourself with, if you miss the zman, then ultimately, again, you've broken something that can't be repaired, or something has been taken from you that cannot be reclaimed. So we'll say, Chav Chesmavis, 28b, some beautiful gemar ahead of us now. Rav Avya Chalash, for the Asal Pirkei de Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was ill, and he didn't come to shir. Now Rashi points out over here something very interesting. Look at the top Rashi. Lo ala pirkei Rav Yosef shay Rashi yeshiv pompadisa. Rav Yosef was Rashi yeshiv and pompadisa. Vahayedoresh b'Shabbes kodem tefilas hamusafin, and he would give a drasha on Shabbos before Musaf. So this was just a regular Shabbos, and here Rav Yosef the Rashi yeshiv used to give a shir every Shabbos before Musaf. Rashi says ula achar adrasha. It's actually an interesting model. So what happened over here is people would come to shul for Shacharis. Then after Shacharis, they'd go to shir. Right? Rav Yosef, the Rosh Yeshiva, Pompadisa, would give the shir. Then after the shir, they'd go back to shul to daven Musaf. Okay. So what happened? Rav Avya was ill one Shabbos, and he didn't come to shir. L'machar ki asa. So the next day, Sunday morning, he comes to shir. By Abaye la'anuche daite di Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was troubled that Rav Avya did not come. So Abaye wanted to put Rav Yosef's mind at ease. So he asks Rav Avya, why didn't you come to the drasha yesterday? Amarle, my time alo asam ala pirka. So Rav Avya responded, Amarle, the havich chalish li boy v'lo matzina. So Rav Avya says, I wasn't feeling well. Chalish li boy literally means I was weak, I wasn't feeling well, and therefore I didn't come. They said, why didn't you eat something? Sabai says, Rav Avya, so why didn't you eat something? Give yourself a little bit of strength and then come to the drasha. Amar leilo savala mar lahadir Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna asar lo li adam sheitam klum kodim sheis baal tefila samusafin. Or what about Rav Huna? Rav Huna said, you're not allowed to eat anything before you daven musaf. You can't eat before you daven musaf. Amar le ibai mar litzelo yetzelo said the musafin biyachid. Belitom midi velamesein. Sabai said to Rav Abia, okay, so you should have daven musaf at home. In other words, stay home, daven musaf, eat something, and then now that your strength is a little bit more restored, then you'll come back to the base medrash afterwards. What about Rabbi Yochanan said? That a person should never daven earlier than the minyan is davening. So Rav Avi said, had I davened musaf at home, I would have effectively davened musaf before the tzibor davened musaf. And Rabbi Yochanan said that you're not supposed to go ahead and daven before the tzibor. Amar leis, Rabbi said, la itma la amar Rabbi Abba, but tzibor shanu. So again, ultimately, so in that case, Rabbi Abba said, that's if you're in shul. In other words, if you're in shul, you shouldn't daven musaf before the tzibor davens musaf. But if you're davening at home, you're davening by yourself, then you could even daven musaf earlier than the tzibor davens. The Gemara says, v'las hilcha salok Rav Huna, v'lok Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And we'll say, in reality, the Gemara says, the halacha doesn't follow Rav Huna, nor does the halacha follow Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So the Gemara says, ki Rav Huna hada amran. So we'll say the Gemara, the halacha doesn't follow Rav Huna, as we just said before, because we'll remember again, Rav Huna said you're not allowed to eat anything before musaf. We don't paskin that way. You're allowed to eat before musaf, right? You could go ahead and now again, you have to make kiddush. I'm going to talk about on Shabbos, you'd have to make kiddush before you eat, but the mice you're allowed to eat before musaf. So that's number one. Furthermore, again, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kevin Shegi is man tfilas amincha asher le adam shietam klum kodim sheisbal tfilas amincha. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that once the time for mincha comes, you're not allowed to eat anything until you daven mincha. And I will say, the truth is, we're going to discuss this halacha a little bit more. It's actually a very fascinating halacha in general about the concept of not davening once mincha time comes. In other words, the general concern was that if you begin to eat, once the zman for mincha comes, what's going to happen? You're going to get caught up in your active eating, you're going to forget about mincha. So the truth is, in general, the way the halacha kind of operates is that if a person davens with a regular minyan, right, the person has a set time to be able to daven, so we're not concerned they're going to miss the zman. In any event, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who says that halacha l'maaseh, once the time for mincha comes, you can't eat until you daven mincha, but we don't paskin that way. Okay, we'll say brand new Mishnah, a really, really beautiful Gemara. We'll say the next couple of Gemaras are just absolutely amazing. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, Hayim ispalo b'chnisas la'beis ha'medrash u'b'tziyas ha'tfila kitzara. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, when he walked into the base medrash and when he left the base medrash, he would daven a short prayer. Amru lo, so these other rabbinic colleagues said to him, ma makom l'tfila zu? They said, Rabbi Nechunya, what now literally means, what is the place of this tfila? What they were really asking was, what are you davening? What is it that you're davening when you walk into the base medrash? What is it that you're davening when you leave the base medrash? So this is really beautiful. Amar lahem, bechnisasi ani mispalo, shelo ye'ara davar takala al yadi. I must say, this is incredible. Rabbi Nechunya said, when I walk into the base medrash, I daven that no stumbling block should be caused because of me. I should not create any stumbling block. Now, what does that refer to? What does that refer to? So, the pashtos, what Rabbi Nechunya was saying was that I shouldn't say anything that could turn out to be wrong. I shouldn't issue a ruling that could turn out to be wrong, because if I give over the wrong halacha, then that creates a stumbling block ultimately for those around me. So, really beautiful. It will be tziyasi ani nosin hoda al chelki. And when I leave the base medrash, I give thanks for my portion. I'll say, what a beautiful idea. I will say, sometimes, you know, we forget how fortunate we are. We forget how fortunate we are. And we forget that what a privilege it is. I'll say, to be able to have a Torah, to be able to learn Torah, to be able to grow, to be able to self-actualize, to be able to become the best version of ourselves. So when Nechunya will leave the base center, she will say, thank you. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for allowing me for this to be my portion. Incredible. Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Bichnisasa ma'omer. So what was the actual text of the prayer, of the tefillah, that Rabbi Nechunya would say upon entering into the Beis Medrash? So here's what he would say. Yiratzim ofanach Hashem Elokai. It should be your will, Hashem, my God. Shelo ye'ara davar takala al yadi. So no stumbling block should come about because of me. Belo akashol bedvar halacha. I shouldn't stumble over any matter of law. Ve'yismichu bi'chaveirai. And my friends will rejoice over me. Now, we'll say, now the truth is, there's really two different ways to go ahead. And if the Pashas Rashi says the way it was, like, I shouldn't stumble over Dvar Halacha, and my friends should not rejoice over my mistakes. So, you'll say, it's a very profound idea. You know, it's interesting. There are two ways in which a person could go ahead and make themselves feel greater. One is to actually work on yourself, and one is to go ahead and put everyone else down. So Rabbi Nechunya said, number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, don't let me stumble in words of Torah, and don't let my friends, Chas V'Shalom, fall into the trap of rejoicing over my failures. Which is a really, so I say, in this tefillah, he's davening for two things. He's davening for himself. Don't let me stumble. And he's davening for his friends, that in the event that he does stumble, don't let my friends fall into the trap of rejoicing over my mistakes. It's incredible. V'lo omer al tamei tar, v'lo al tar tamei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't allow, in other words, don't let me deliver an erroneous ruling. Don't let me rule on saying that's tamei, that's tar, or tar, that's tamei. V'lo yikashlu chaveri bidvar halacha, v'esmach bohem. Shabbos is incredible. Nor should my friends stumble over any matter of halacha. And if they do, don't let me rejoice over their mistakes. So I'll say it's really, really beautiful. You know, it's let's say what's incredible about this is, you know, you see like the realness, the humanity of Rabbi Nechunya. Number one, recognizing that he's susceptible to making mistakes, because all people are susceptible to making mistakes. So I'll say, so first of all, he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me not to make mistakes. So I'll say, to utter that kind of tefillah, by definition, you have to be humble enough to acknowledge the possibility of making mistakes. Because Baruch Hu, I'm human, I'm frail, I'm limited. I recognize I make mistakes. I'm asking you to help me to try to avoid mistakes. And if I do make mistakes, give my friends the courage not to rejoice over my mistakes. And if my friends make mistakes, give me the courage not to rejoice over their mistakes. Incredible. Obi Yitziyaso, Mahu Omer. And when Rabbi Nechunya left the Beis Medrash, what did he daven? So listen to this, Moses, it's beautiful. Omer, he would say as follows, Modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai. Literally, again, I express my gratitude before you, Hashem, my God. Shesam techal kimiyo shebeis ha-medrash, because you have put my portion amongst those who sit in the Beis Medrash. Velo sam techal kimiyo shvei kronos. And you don't go ahead, and you did not cast my portion with those who sit in the corners. So I'll say that expression, Yoshvei Kronos, is the expression for people who just sit around doing nothing. They just sit around doing nothing. They sit in the corners. So thank you, Hashem, for making my portion among those who sit in the Beis Medrash and not those who sit in the corners. Sha'ani mashkim v'hei mashkimim. You know, I get up in the morning and they get up in the morning. Ani mashkim divrei Torah. I get up in the morning with a purpose to go and learn. V'hei mashkimim l'dvarim b'teilim. But ultimately, again, and they get up and they just squander their time with nothingness. Ani amel v'hem amelim. I toil and they toil. Ani amel umekabel sachar. I toil, Rabbi Nechunya said in Torah, and I receive reward. V'hem amelim v'hem amekabel sachar. And ultimately, again, they toil, but they don't receive reward. Ani rats v'hem ratsim. I run and they run. Ani rats v'chay olam haba. I run to life in the world to come. V'hem ratsim v'ashachas. And unfortunately, they run to the pit of destruction. Shabbos says, so such an incredible Gemara, but what I just want to point out is something amazing. That how does the tefillah start? Modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shesam techal kim yoshe beis hamedrash, v'lo sam techal kim yoshe kronos. Shabbos says, one of the things we have to recognize in life is we do not choose the circumstances we are born into. And this is incredibly important. You know, sometimes, you know, we see other people and maybe we look down on their choices, or we look down on their lack of accomplishment, or we look down on a whole variety of things because we see, look, you know, I'm holding in a certain place. Look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. But sometimes you have to recognize that Hashem Baruch Hu placed us in different situations. So Hashem Baruch Hu places one person in an intact family, another person in a non-intact family, one person with healthy exposures, the other person with none. And you don't choose those things. Now, I will say that to be clear, even if you're born into a very difficult circumstance, it does not free you from trying to overcome it and make the best of yourself and the best of your life. But that being said, it's much more difficult to do than if you're born into optimal circumstances. So it's interesting that Rabbi Nechunya said, like, one of the first things he recognized is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, thank you for placing me where you placed me. Thank you for placing me where you placed me, because had you placed me elsewhere, in a different part of society, right? In a different socioeconomic right structure, in a different, you place me anywhere, I don't, bless you, I don't know that I necessarily would have been able to accomplish the things that I accomplished. So we'll say also a tremendous degree of humility, how sometimes you have to recognize that the things we're able to do in life is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His great compassion, put us in an atmosphere, in a surroundings, in a family that may be conducive to certain levels of self-actualization that would have been so much more complicated had I been put in a different set of circumstances. Just an interesting idea. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, let's go weiter. Really beautiful Gemara here. Tan Rabbanan, Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer, these are incredible Gemaras. Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnesu Tamidav Levakro. So listen to this, Rabbi Eliezer was ill. Now understand, in the Gemara, generally when it discusses someone becoming ill and his students coming in to visit him, it usually means it's deathbed ill. It's deathbed ill. Now, it's interesting, I think I mentioned this before, it's always interesting to see that in the Gemara, right? We kind of like, we have this image of when a person is on their deathbed, you know, they're surrounded by family. And yet in the Gemara, interestingly enough, great people were almost always surrounded by their students. And it doesn't have to mean that their family wasn't there, but the students were there, and the students really seemed to be like front and center. So understand, why is that? Because remember, once upon a time, Tarsha Baal Peh was Baal Peh, right? The verbal law, the oral law, was oral, right? It was transmitted verbally, which means that when a Rebbe died, and left this world, whatever he gave over was given over, and whatever he didn't give over went with him to the grave. So it's almost as if when you see great people fall deathly ill, there's like an urgency to extract whatever else you can from the Rebbe before he leaves this world. Really, a really profound idea. So Rabbi Eliezer is ill, right? Dying. And what happens? Nichnesu Tamidav Levakro. His students came in to visit him. Amar lo Rabbeinu, Lamdenu Archos Chaim, V'niske Bahen L'chaye Olam Abba. This is so incredible. They said, Rebbe, teach us the ways of life in order that we could merit a portion in the world to come. Now, we'll say, now, what does this mean? So essentially, what they seem to be asking of him is, Rebbe, teach us the secret to successful living. Now, we'll say, now, what's intriguing about this? You would think that this would be a good kind of question to ask when? I don't know, you know, a couple of years before. So we'll say, you know what the great, like, irony of life is? That you really only know what to do and how to do it as you're kind of like exiting the stage. You know, it's only once you have all of that life experience behind you and you're on that deathbed and now you know the stuff that matters. I will say there's something amazing about being, you know, close to death, which is there are no more illusions. No more illusions. You know what's important. You know what's not important. You know what matters. You know what doesn't matter. So it's almost incredible. Like in this moment, the Talmidim, the students are like, Rebbe, you know, now you probably have the greatest amount of life clarity. In these final moments in this world, you know exactly what matters, how it matters, what you need. So Rebbe, teach us the secret to successful living. Both, I'm leaving you on a cliffhanger. And Miras Hashem tomorrow night. Shkoyach. Incredible. We have a couple of more Gemaras like this coming up tomorrow. Incredible Gemaras.